dismissed. And those alive and remaining, I want to read my first scripture and then we can be seated. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1 through 5, he writes, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And I think being apostolic, that really rings true to us today. Our faith, above all things, it stands in the power of God, not in the wisdom of men. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you would bless this word tonight. Bless our minds and our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk about developing and keeping faith in God's ability. Now, while that might sound very simple, something easy to do, I think it's probably more difficult in the long run because there is in us a tendency to sometimes replace the miraculous or the divine parts of God with human intervention. We love divine intervention, but I think we're very prone to human intervention. We've seen it around our altars when somebody's seeking for the Holy Ghost. And we know God gives the Holy Ghost. Yes, but people can sure give some back rubs sometimes. Yes. They can sure do some massaging, hoping that it's helping the process. But our faith should stand in the power of God. And I think that's really the focus here that Paul is saying is, I'm not trying to sway you or wow you with my words, but we want this to be something that God can do. And so developing and keeping faith in God's ability. And here Paul is confirming that he depended on God's power and not on man's wisdom. He is saying, I'm standing firmly on the power of God. He could have used big words and dark sayings. He could have chose to magnify God he could have chose rather to magnify himself instead of magnifying God. But he said, here's what I want to do. I want to show you who God is, and I'm going to lift him up and not lift myself up, so that he could declare God's greatness while diminishing his own greatness. Paul had to first understand something, that he was important to the kingdom of God. That's something that might have been difficult for him to understand. But so he often used this. He said, I persecuted the church. You know, look at me. You may know me. I may be known far and wide, but I persecuted the church. Meaning I thought I was right when I was wrong. And so I know about being in error is in effect what he was saying. And to us today, thankful that we have the truth and thankful that we have demonstration of God's Spirit and power and thankful that we have the Holy Ghost dwelling on the inside. That is the greatest thing that we have today, is that redemptive power of God. He said to them, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Meaning, I don't take this laying down. I don't take it lightly. But to have the revelations that Paul had, he held them in the right esteem by saying, this is something I count very highly that God has chosen me. And so he's trying to say, I'm not anything except what God has done for me and is currently doing through me. So I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. He was being real. There was a great benefit in letting them see his limitations and seeing his faults. I hope that I never try to hide my faults. I don't want to illuminate all of them. It's no use having show and tell. But we're humans. And truly, that's a good thing. Because the fact that we're cut from the same cloth as the members of the church lets us all know we all go through things. We all need to follow examples, and all of us stumble. I'm not beyond stumbling. I'm not beyond being in error. I've misquoted scriptures. I've misapplied principles of the Bible and went back and looked at it and said, what in the world was I thinking? I should have been praying more. I should have studied it a little bit deeper. And I'll never outgrow that. I'll do it again soon. I just won't tell you about it all the time. Don't want to illuminate the mistakes there. But someone can always identify with us from the outside because we're still like they are. We're not walking around in a cloak of perfection. Not at all. We're like them. We're still full of faults and failures, but we've been redeemed. We've been redeemed. And thankfully, we have these bodies that God has placed His Spirit in, and it does lead us and guide us into all truth, and that's a fact. And so we must be prone to be followers of God. He said, my preaching and my speech was in demonstration of God's Spirit and of power. He said, it's a demonstration of His power. When I'm talking to you, He is telling them, understand that God is doing this. God is helping me. Paul was trying to connect with them on a spirit level, saying, this is something that God is doing through me. What this did is it directed their faith towards God. See, a lot of men like to say, me, me, me. Look at me. And those are the ones that can lead people astray. But if our eyes are on God and we're listening to the preacher, if the preacher falls by the wayside, our minds and our spirits can still be on God. And we pray for him and hope he gets up and he gets restored, but our minds are on God. But churches that are preacher-centered, personality-driven, the greatest danger to that, number one, they don't know God and His true power. But the greatest danger to that is the way the man of God goes, the way many of the people are going to fall. They may be able to untangle themselves from it after a while and finally wrap their minds around the fact that our Messiah was not righteous as we thought. And then they got to go find out, where did we leave God at? Where was the last place we had God? That's why preaching should always be to lift Him up. Always to lift Him up. To lift Him up. It always is an act of worship. Preaching is an act of worship because it exalts Christ. It puts God in the forefront of our lives. Amen. Greater is He that's in me, amen, than he that's in the world. Great is our God. Amen. So Paul often would say, I'm not anything here. I persecuted the church. But by God's grace, I am what I am. Superstar preachers are more about themselves, but they create saints that really don't know about the power of God. They can quote their preacher, but can they quote the Word of God? Because he stands in between them and the freedom of knowing God. Amen. And I know I'm just laying a groundwork here with these scriptures in 1 Corinthians 2. But I want to go to Isaiah chapter 12. God is our strength. God is our song. God is our salvation. God is our joy. He's everything. I don't want to pretend to be the answer. I can't cover that right there. Behold, verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. He said, look, He's my joy. He's my salvation. Therefore, with joy we will draw water out of the wells of salvation. I'm glad it's not just one well. I'm glad it's not just one element and one area that I can find salvation joy, but out of the multitude of God's wells that He places where we are in our life, we can draw water out of the wells of salvation. I've been in the desert and I've been so thirsty, but God was there. I've been on the mountaintop and I've been thirsty and God was there. I've been going through the good times and I needed God. I've gone through the bad times and we surely need God, but He puts a well everywhere we are. And sometimes that well is a past experience, isn't it? Sometimes it's a testimony that somebody gave. Sometimes that well is the healing miracle that C.C. Crawford had here Sunday. The well is what we're going to draw from. It's going to change us and make us better. With joy we draw from those wells. Therefore, sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. excellent things. He said in verse 4, "And in that day you shall say, praise the Lord, call on his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted." Instantly I hear the title of an old T.F. Tenney sermon, "Make mention that his name is exalted." I'm glad that sermons are our benchmarks and stepping stones and sometimes our favorite memories. Amen. We heard some fabulous preaching in Ocala this weekend. Oh my goodness, what amazing things were said, and God was lifted up and glorified. Some of the greatest, I'll tell you, two of the greatest sermons I think I've ever had was right there. And if God wants to let me hear two of the greatest again at some point, I'll be glad to stack them up there. Oh my, what a great time we had. But my best memories are in church. Because it's a two-pronged blessing. It's an earthly and it's a spiritual blessing. It's of the earth and it's of heaven. And I'm thankful that every time we can plug in and sit down in a church, we may be about to experience something that's going to go down in our memories as one of the best days we've had spiritually. Amen. Spiritually. Thank God. But God is our strength. He's our joy, our song, and our salvation. With joy, he said, we shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. This is because he is our salvation and whom we trust in. We trust in him. Joy. If we don't have joy, we need to get a little bit closer to him. Because he's full of joy. Joy unspeakable. Full of glory. Think about that. That's scriptural. Joy, he's full of glory. Full. That means the glory of God doesn't diminish. The closer we get, the more of his glory we see. It's joy that we can't even describe. Joy we can't even continue to complete. We can't complete talking about it. It's full of glory, though. My God is the evidence of his existence. He's full of that. Think about glory. The glory of God. The evidence of God. The difference between zero and a million. It's that difference. It's the glory. It's the evidence. It's what I see. And I say, that is God in my life right there. I can't make it without him. That's the Almighty God moving and breathing in my life. That is the glory of God. The shining brightness of his presence. That's the glory. That's the glory of God. Thank God for his glory. Amen. And joy that he brings us. You know, it is, and I want to be on a real level today. It is a daily struggle to keep God in the center. It is a daily struggle because other things beckon for our attention and our valuable time. And if we allow ourselves, we can be drawn away from the path of God, and we can be drawn into areas of our life, putting out fires, doing our jobs, whatever it might be. And we have to do those things. We don't call our boss and say, you know, you just got to hold on a minute because I'm spending some time with my Savior. And I know it's Monday and you're overwhelmed with things to do, but I'm going to spend time with my Jesus. That is not a good witness. That is not a good witness. Amen. We had some converts in our church in Texas, and one of them, his name was Neil, and he was excited about the cause and the call of God on his life. And so he got a job where I worked, and he needed a ride. I was glad to take him to work. Actually, the pastor came up and said, would you mind giving him a ride to work? Said, no, I'll give him a ride, yeah. I told him, I'll be by to pick you up. I don't know if it was the first day that I took him that he had no lunchbox. And I said, what are you going to do for lunch? Something like that. And, you know, I understood he didn't have a lunch. He lived in a YMCA right across from the church. So I told my wife, she said, let's make him a lunch and I'll send it with you every day. So she would make my lunch, and she'd duplicate that, and she'd make his lunch. And he got in the car, and I said, I got you a lunch, and that way you can make it through that, you know, 10 and a half hour day. And so there's his lunch. He went to work, came back. This might have happened 2 days. It might have happened 3 days. But when it came Friday, he came out to the car, and he wasn't looking like he was ready to work. His hard hat wasn't in his hand. And you know, he just wasn't dressed for construction. He said, if I could get that lunchbox, I just don't feel like work today. Oh, I just felt uncomfortable because I know what happens when you don't make it to your fourth day on the job. I said, are you sure? He goes, yeah, I just got a headache or something, you know, I don't know. So he took the lunchbox. I just bring it back to me Sunday so we can refill it for you. Faithful worker you are. And as it turned out, he didn't get to go back. He retired with benefits. No, he got fired. Because he was okay for 3 days. But it was that fourth day that got him. But he couldn't hang in there. But he just, you know, I'll take the benefits. I don't need the ride today because I'm going right back to my room and I'm going to spend it in there. Those are times right there. And I understand this is it's a funny and fitting example, but truly in his life, that probably wasn't that bad of a thing to happen in his life because he was coming out of some deep situations that God was saving him from. But on the surface, the way you look at it from the Word of God and from a scriptural perspective of being faithful to the kingdom, he should have gotten the car and come on to work, had his lunch ready for him, and he could have continued to have a career perhaps that he could have, you know, got his way out of debt or whatever it might have been that he needed. But in this case, this situation just kind of shows that we are obligated to do things in this life. We're obligated to be good husbands, good wives, good fathers. We're good children. We're obligated to be the best employees that there are on our jobs. Being apostolic, we do not ever need to qualify as number 4 or 5 on the ladder there. We've got to shoot for the top for nothing more than to say, because I represent a church of the living God. And that's what I need to think about every time I wake up and don't feel like going through. I need to go ahead and get myself to work. And I believe it today, apostolic folks are the best employees there are. And I remember once I was teaching. And I kind of went around the church, this was years ago, and I began to ask people, what do you do on your job? And there was an amazing number of people in the church that were in management, that had been given raises, that had been elevated and promoted on their jobs. Amazing number of them. And is it because God loves us more? No, there's something about the Spirit of God within. It creates in us character. It creates in us the ability to do what is right in this world. We know how to get along with our fellow men. We can work in environments that are not real friendly, that might even be hostile. But we do that because God gives us the ability to do it. Amen. That's godly. We can't go to work and say, I'm sorry, I'm a little offended. You know, I've been to jobs where I could actually say it was offensive. I can't even repeat what people said to me. And you've been to those jobs. You know, you have to walk down up to your car and get in it and drive home thinking, I hope I don't repeat some of the things I'm hearing. You know, it's words. But it's not going to make me backslide. Because what I'm loading up on between that job, when I'm here on midweek, Sunday, man, I'm feeding my soul. Amen. And nothing's going to damage that. Nothing's going to offend me there. Because I'm being blessed, you're being blessed. Whenever we come and sing these songs, what we're doing when we're singing, we're just taking that principle about God being great, God being love, God being a Savior, God being a healer, and we're sealing that in our hearts, saying that's exactly what it is. We got a song we're singing about you, Lord, and we're going to believe it because we're singing it with faith. And we're going to walk out of here knowing that once again we've secured our hope in who God is and what He's doing. Amen. God is our strength, our song, our salvation. He's our joy. Amen. Therefore, with joy, we shall draw water out of those wells of salvation. There's a place we can get to where we can pour in and we can be faithful. We're principled people. Perhaps we're disciplined and we do what is right. But we don't need to forget to take water out of the well. We need to be sure we're drinking from the well of salvation, because we're going to drink something. We're going to ingest something. We're going to need something for our sustenance. And it needs to be the well of salvation. It needs to be the pure Word of God. We need to drink that crystal clear water that refreshes not just the mind and body, but it refreshes the soul that God's Spirit dwells in, allowing us to walk upright before Him and live and breathe and have our being in a righteous God. Amen. We sing, we sing, we sing, we sing, we sing. man, we just sing way too much. Nope. No, we come here and on Wednesday we just sing and sing, and sometimes we don't want to stop. And Sundays, oh my, this past Sunday, we just sang and sang, and it was just it just kept getting better and better and better. And honestly, I just kept looking in the balcony around thinking, there's got to be angels in here. I know they are, but in a moment, they're just going to reveal themselves and say, we just can't keep this back anymore. Here we are. You know, we've been had. You finally found us. We've been there the whole time enjoying that. The Bible says they look on, desiring what we have. They can't have the Holy Ghost. They don't need the Holy Ghost, but they can't have it. That's not what they're created for. They have their place. Sometimes I envy them, but the glory of God is here on us. The glory, the difference that's made through grace. The difference that's made through just coming in here and singing songs and worshiping God. The difference that's made through just being a child of God and lifting up His voice, lifting up His praise with our voices. And my third point, if you have been counting my points, you don't really know if I'm reading bold blue type or red letters, do you? See, I'm sorry, I don't tell you this. I'm reading the Roman numeral 3, which is in blue, and it's bold. God is magnified in our divine recovery in all circumstances. I'm going to have to read it again. Think about it. I'll say it a different way. We magnify God when going through things. We recover out of our circumstances. We get knocked down, but we get up again, as that old song says. I'm not going to say it again because I don't want you to lose you there. But we do. We get knocked down, but we get up. Amen. My feet had well nigh slipped. We've been there, but we recover. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6 through 10. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's read that again. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light of the knowledge of His glory. The light that says, do you understand who He is? Do you understand who He is? See, we as vessels of flesh, we are the true image of God as Christ was His person. We are the church, image of God. We replicate what God is, His glory, His goodness, His favor. That's why Spirit's in us. His Holy Spirit's in us to lead and guide us into all truths. When it says all truths, it's talking about biblical truths, spiritual truths. There's truths in the world. I don't want to know those truths. That's out there. I like the truths that's in the church. I like truths that set us free. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power, the part that does the greatest good, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. That right there is the treasure in the earthen vessels. It's that rising above, that greatest part of God's power is of God, not of us. The excellency of it. Lord, that's You, God. I worship You for it. And we get to walk in line with Your works and Your word. We're employed in the work of Your Spirit, and we're sometimes we're laying hands on the person that's healed or the person that gets the Holy Ghost, and or we've been next to them when they begin to speak in other tongues. But Lord, You're the one that gave that to them. The Spirit gave them the utterance. We were there, God, but the excellency of the power, we can't promote it. We can promote it, but we can't do it ourselves. It's God's power. It's God's doings. Marvelous. It's marvelous to all of us. We love those things. But He says we're troubled on every side. Hand in hand. It goes hand in hand. We do great works. We see great works. We glorify God. But we're troubled on every side. Yet we're not distressed. Every side, but we're not distressed. Never. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We come to our end of the tunnel and there's no way out, but we don't despair. As long as we're still breathing, we understand, God, You're going to make a way where there's no way. You will make a way, God. We'll make a way. We'll make a way. I remember when it seemed like I was going through spiritual boot camp. And all these times were terrible, I thought. Now they're just like, really? I was worried about that. But I remember I would visualize myself at the end of a hallway. And I would say to God, Lord, I feel like I'm at the end of a hallway. There's no door on the left or right. I can't go backwards. And I'm looking at just a blank wall. Lord, I'm interested to know how we're going to get out of this mess right here. Because I don't see it. I don't see it. It's kind of like somebody doing card tricks. How in the world? There's no way that's... And something disappears or something appears and you're like, all right, I just want to know how you did it. I mean, I'll pay money to know how you did it. I don't want to do it. I just want to know. We always want to know. But here I am at the end of that hallway and I'd picture myself. I have notes where I wrote down. I journaled it. This here is happening and I have no idea how God's going to come through. I have a calendar that I kept from when I was dating my wife. And in that calendar, there's a certain month on there, and I write on there, I have no idea how this is going to turn out. It was 1980, I guess. I mean, I remember leaning over, writing, it's on my wall of my room, bedroom is where it was at. I remember leaning and writing and being in my mind so pressed down, I don't know how, God, you're going to do this. And really, if I would describe the parameters, all, you know, all the details of my problem, you would laugh more. But that was the level I was at. How are you going to ever do this? I kept the calendar because right down there about 2.5 weeks later, the answer came today. It was such an explosive answer and such an amazing thing that no one in my house even knew it happened, because my life was just, is very neatly packaged up. But God was showing me, when you get to the end of that place and there's no way out, you can't go backwards, all right, and you don't know how, that's where I'm at. What I'm about to do is called glory. I'm giving you an answer, and it's going to be glory. That's why I wrote it down. I wanted to remember it. And you know, I never went down that hall again, but God gave me another one, but it was on level 2. Like, I thought first level was bad. Whoa. How can it be worse? Well, the risk is greater. The risk was greater. This is going to affect my pride. I don't want anything to affect that. This is going to be about my standing. And am I going to look foolish? I don't want to look foolish. And I do the same thing. How in the world? 2 or 3 weeks later, a month, whatever it took, I'm at level 3. This familiar hallway. This one's got flames at the end or something. You know, it's different. It's like Mario Brothers. Really a lot like that, sort of, you know. But you know there is a way out of it. You just are never going to find out. I never made it past the ice stage, whatever the ice. I almost did and never did. I regret that. Someday. But in a spiritual sense, let's get back to this. This treasure in earthen vessels, the power of God, that rising above power of God, that's what it's for. The New Living Translation for verse 6, for God who commanded the light. He said, for God who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we would know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. The glory of, I don't have time to get deeply into this. But the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, Savior, Redeemer. Redeemer, right there, Redeemer. He redeems lost man from that lost state that he's in. The glory of God in the face of God made flesh and dwelt among us and says, I'm dying and I'm taking everything away from you. I'm taking all the sin away. I'm redeeming you and I'm going to come back and I'm going to live inside of you through my spirit. That is the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's not stopping here, but I'm not quitting until I take you with me, till I've got you redeemed. That is the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What an awesome plan this is, and it just gets deeper and wider and applicable to the degree that Rain received the Holy Ghost. 5 years old? 5? I know you sat over there, but I'm looking at my wife thinking she knows everything. 5 years old, received the Holy Ghost. She knows something about it. But think about the vast life ahead of her that she doesn't know about, that spirit that she received. Because God is able to fill a 5-year old with the Holy Ghost. What an awesome thing it is. That's the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I'm a redeemer. But I'm not just trying to redeem those 18 and over. Anyone that would come unto me. That's why he didn't put an agent on it. Because as long as somebody understands enough to knock on the door. That's all, just enough to knock on the door. He will answer. Our treasure is God's power working in us. When that doesn't seem to be a treasure at all, it's a good sign that we're not at the right field. Amen? Our treasure is God's power in us. And when that doesn't seem to be a treasure, it's a sign that we're not in that field. If what we're doing is and the way we're spending our time, if we're not spending our time doing something that's right and something that God honors, then we may need to move to a different field. Let's busy ourselves with something that's spiritual and uplifting. Amen. Our treasure is that power of God. Amen. Lord, help me today that I can find more areas to put that power, God, because I know you're able. I know you're able. You know, I got one of those hedge trimmers and ones that doesn't have a cord because I cut the cord on the other one 3 times. And third time, it just nicked it, flipped the breaker. My freezer went out. I thought my freezer was broke. Set it by the curb. They took my freezer away. Some couple months later, I plugged into that outlet, and I went, oh, I know, it's a ground fault interrupter over here in the garage. And right when I went up there to flip it, you know how you do, you push the button in. I thought, that's where the freezer was plugged in. And I didn't know if I should tell my wife or not, but it was so funny that I went ahead and shared it with her. We laughed. You know, I laughed. A perfectly good freezer. I took the door off like they told you to and everything, set it out there, and I saw the guy put it in the truck. And I thought, them freezers he's got looks pretty good. Ground fault interrupter is probably the reason every one of them's in the back of that man's truck. I don't know. But I got the one that doesn't have a cord. And you know what I did with that? I'm going around looking for hedges to trim. I'm just going all over the yard. Like, it didn't matter if they needed it or not. It was winter, and I didn't care. I'm trimming everything. When you've got the power and you've got the ability, you find places that God can be used and glorified in. Amen. We should be that excited about this power that God has given us. That, Lord, I'm going to find a place on my job, in my car, in my life, in my family. I'm going to find places that I can put you in my life. We need him everywhere, and he fits everything. Amen. Our treasure is that the power is of God, not of us, and that keeps our lives, that treasure keeps our lives even. Even. People get in trouble, and I'll go back and talk about preachers. Preachers can get in trouble when they start trying to glory in the things of God and not give him the glory. It happens. Not too many of ours do, but you know it. They get a name for themselves, and they get popular, and TV contracts, and they get wealthy, and own a bunch of houses. They always, you know, get houses overlooking a huge, beautiful beach. And who wouldn't? But that's not like one house. But they've gotten popular, but not powerful. When you think about it, it doesn't matter all the millions they have. It matters nothing. When you think about eternity. Eternity. One of the things I'd like to put in our minds today is, when I was starting a while ago, I wanted to be sure I mentioned this. You know, we're going to struggle through things. And God's going to come through and help us out of circumstances. But the main thing that I want to do is keep God centered in my life. That my goal is him and pleasing him. That's my goal. And it may sound simple, and if it is, I'm simple. But I don't want to complicate this matter. I want to keep God in the focal hairs, in the crosshairs, right in front of me, so that I'm constantly trying to please him and pursue him. Because if I can do that with all my heart, I may get off, you know, a step to the right or to the left. But if I've got my eyes on Him, I'll eventually get right back to where I need to be. You know, we may waver some, and everyone does. We're not perfect. But if we keep our eyes on Him, we'll get right back where we need to be. Because He's our Lord, He's our helper, and He is our good shepherd. And I want to keep my eyes focused on Him. Verses 8 and 9. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. We're going through things that normally would upset us, but they don't. We don't. We bounce back. That's what that's saying. It's, you know, troubled, distressed. We're perplexed, not despair. Persecuted, not forsaken. Cast down, not destroyed. It would normally end it there, but we don't because we've got God. And verse 10 says, always bearing about in the body, always bearing about in this body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be proven, might be made manifest in our bodies. A life where He said, I'm not living my own, I'm doing this for you. I'm dying so that you might be saved. It's that sacrificial element of our character that says, I'm doing it for a greater cause. Not only do I want to make it to heaven, somebody's watching me at all times. We've got to be aware of that. And therefore, I want to be a great example to those that are watching my life. Lord, help me that I can always walk upright before You, and You can be the goal in my life. I'm looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of my faith. Amen. Abraham took his only son up a mountain of sacrifice. Didn't bring a sacrifice. Dad, where's the sacrifice? Oh, God will take care of that. And he understood that God would. By faith, he did this, intending to come back down with Isaac. Intending to come back down. God will do this, son. And that faith right there, he purchased his salvation with that faith because he believed God. He believed God. Faithful Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. David prayed and asked God about pursuing the Amalekites and said, and the Lord said, you go ahead and pursue it. And by the way, you're going to recover everything. You know why God said that? Because between here and there, it's a journey. Matter of fact, a third of his troops said, we can't even go across the river. We can't. We're going to stay here. 200 men said, we can't do it. 200 soldiers, fighting men, said, we've already been there with the Philistines, and they sent us home, and now we can't do it. It's all right. They made a law after the battle. They said, people that stay with the stuff are going to get the same thing than those that go fight in the battle. It's a law. He was benevolent to them. But to show you that they had a journey to make. They had a journey. They had somewhere they were going. The Lord didn't want David to make this journey where a third of his troops were about to fall down, faint in the ground. God did not want him to make that journey without knowing something. He said, you're going to recover everything, okay? Think about how easy the journey is when we have the peace of God that says everything's going to be all right. You're going to come back with all the children. Every wife is going to come back. Every home is going to be put back together. Everything is going to be all right. Because I'm in charge of this. I'm going to give you the victory. And the two-thirds that didn't stay with the stuff, they said, you guys, you're not going to share in the spoil like we are. And David said, oh yes, they are. We're going to make it a law they're going to share. The keepers of the stuff is going to get just as much as those that go and take the spoil and fight in the battle. Because God cares about how we feel on a day-to-day basis. You're going through something, He's feeling everything you feel. You're being pushed back, dismayed. God knows that. And He cares about the way you feel. Always bearing about in the body the dying. We're living daily lives of sacrifice and service to God, thus showing the life of Jesus Christ manifested in our lives. Let us stand. Thank you, Lord, for being a God that holds to your promises. Oh, He does, doesn't He? He never changes. With Him is no variableness. The Bible says, not even a shadow of turning. Because he's always the same. He's always the same. He cares for you and he cares for me. We serve a mighty God, don't we? Amen. Let's lift our hands and praise him. Lord, I want to thank you for this. Thank you, God, today that your promises are yea and amen. Everything about you, God, is true and thorough. And I give you praise for it, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing this. Oh, yes.